Now, Mr. Truitt.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, we contend that the Court committed significant procedural error when it enhanced Mr. Lewis's sentence by two levels for perjury based on facts that were not found in the record. In arriving at his conclusion, Judge Miller stated, Mr. Lewis testified at trial that he was not a dealer and that the crack cocaine found in the house where he was staying was for personal use by his sister and him. And the Court went on to find that that was untrue. Unfortunately, there is no place in the record where Mr. Lewis said that the crack cocaine found in the kitchen was for his personal use and that is of his sister.
And didn't Mr. Lewis effectively say that in a much wordier way? I mean, I read through the transcript, and I'm not going to disagree with you that there might not be a concise little moment when he says that, but it looks to me that by the time you put together everything that he said, that was what he was trying to say, that this, you know, this isn't mine, it's just a little bit of personal use stuff.
Well, in some of the early police reports, and this came out in the testimony by Officer Wise, he felt that Mr. Lewis acknowledged that at least the smaller amount found in the kitchen was his. To his credit, he reviewed the video, went over his notes, talked to other officers, and testified, prepared a report, submitted it to the United States Attorney, and said, I was wrong. I don't think he was acknowledging that that cocaine downstairs was his. I just don't think that there was any evidentiary support for that enhancement based on the judge's conclusion that he testified that the crack cocaine found in the house where he was staying was for personal use by his sister and him. And that's a quote from Ann Gall teaches us that, you know, when you base an enhancement or a sentence on facts not found in the record, that is one of the procedural errors that a district court can commit. And we strongly feel that in this case, that was a significant procedural error and that this case should be remanded for resentencing without that enhancement. Given the narrowness of the issue, I think I've done everything I can do on behalf of that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Truitt. Mr. Grimmer.
Thank you, Your Honor. William Grimmer on behalf of the United States. As I think I indicated in my brief, that Mr. Truitt and I very rarely agree on anything. And in his brief, he said, Judge Miller is usually a very careful and precise jurist. And on that point, we agree. In terms of the enhancement here, and I have read over that sentencing memorandum, I have looked at and reread several times the testimony of the defendant, and I believe I would agree with Judge Wood in terms of he doesn't say it exactly, that is, Mr. Lewis, but throughout his testimony, he talks repeatedly about being a user of crack cocaine. On cross-examination, I counted up five different times when I posed that question to him in one shape or the other, and clearly he indicated that even the night before the police arrived, that he and his sister had used crack cocaine. He did not say they used crack cocaine specifically in the house, although he did make reference to the fact that the ashtray and the candle that was found by police during the execution of the search warrant were items that were used by he and his sister in terms of using crack cocaine. I didn't and wasn't perhaps specific enough on cross-examination to tie that down. So what, when you look at the sentencing memorandum and Judge Miller's comments, I believe that when Mr. Truitt says it's not there, it's not all there, I could agree with the fact that one could read the record that way, and certainly that's the way Mr. Truitt has read it. Or you could also look at how Judge Miller applied the factors of Dunnigan and said, quite frankly, the issue in this case was knowledge and possession and intent. And quite frankly, the defense was, I didn't know it was there, but if I knew it was there, it was only because I was a user or it was somebody else's. So the central issue before the jury was, in fact, was there knowing possession, and the issue of intent was clearly before the finder of fact. In looking at Judge Miller's memorandum, he says that the defendant testified that he was a dealer. And then there's a comma, and then he goes on to say, I guess, what is disputed between the parties here. But quite frankly, I believe Judge Miller found that the central issue and what was most important was the issue was that if the trier of fact found that the defendant possessed the cocaine at the Scott Street residence, did he possess it with an intent to distribute? The defendant says, no, I'm only simply a user of cocaine, crack cocaine, as is my sister. There would be no reason for me to distribute that cocaine if you believe that I possessed it. If the court decides that perhaps maybe in looking at the argument of Mr. Truitt on behalf of his client, does it mean that you automatically have to remand it? And in looking at the cases that are before the court, that this court has decided in the past, you know, language of, you know, the findings are regrettably slim, or, for instance, in the Saunders case that we quote, where the court made an error of law as to the factors or the test in the Dunnigan thing, the court said, really, and the cases sort of stand for the proposition, you know, from the record, does it appear that the defendant lied? Obviously, that was the central issue we argued to the jury. And ultimately, although it took the jury several hours to get that, or actually over 2 days to get to that point, clearly that was central, and they made a determination that, in fact, his testimony wasn't truthful. But more importantly, it was for Judge Miller, in his findings, to find that the defendant gave willful and intentional and material testimony that was a lie. And so as a result of looking at the entire record, I think this court could find, even if we say that Judge Miller on that one particular point, it's not directly there in the record, found that the defendant lied about whether or not he intended to distribute the cocaine that the jury found he possessed. As a result, then, whether the findings are skimpy or regrettably slim, ultimately the test is, it was it central, the lie central to the fact finder here, and we submit that it was. So we're asking that even if the court agrees with Mr. Truitt that a remand is not necessarily warranted, and that Savage and Saunders and the other cases we cite do in fact salvage at least the enhancement as provided by the district court. So we would ask that the court find that there was no error, but that if the court determines that Judge Miller did make an error, that it is the type that would be harmless in view of the record that was developed, and deny a remand in this case. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Mr. Grimmer. Anything further, Mr. Truitt?
May it please the court again, I fail to see how an error that results in a longer sentence in two levels, when you're talking about the guideline range that Mr. Lewis was determined to be at, two levels make a significant a difference in his sentence, and so we don't think that error was harmless.
I don't understand the argument to be that adding two levels is harmless. I understand the argument to be that Judge Miller gave, let's say, four reasons for finding that obstruction of justice had occurred. If you take away one of those four reasons, three remain. That is what I understand the harmless error argument to be.
Well, I think Judge Miller didn't give four reasons. He said he testified at trial he was not a dealer, and that he testified that the crack cocaine found in the house where he was staying was for personal use by his sister and him. And that's clearly not present, and I don't think that last statement is even present by an inference. In fact, that was specifically rejected by the investigating officer in his supplemental report to Mr. Grimmer and his testimony at trial, that there was no statement. I don't know where Judge Miller came up with that. Mr. Grimmer has to argue that, well, it's part of the penumbras and emanations, and you can find bits and pieces of whatnot in the record. Judge Miller was very specific as to the comments that he thought present, which justified a finding that Mr. Lewis perjured himself during his testimony at trial, and our position is they're not there, and I don't even think there's enough snippets and bits and pieces where you can come to the conclusion that Mr. Lewis testified that the cocaine found in the kitchen was for his personal use and his sister. And he goes on in the rest of the quote where he he expands on that there was packaging material and digital scale, and the amount just belies the fact that it was for his personal use, given the charge of possession with the intent, no testimony could have been more material, but I think that enhancement is based on non-existent evidence, and that I don't think it's harmless error, and I think it should be remanded with instructions to impose a sentence consistent with the finding. Also, if it were remanded for resentencing, the court could also consider the Supreme Court's guidance in the Kimbrough decision as to whether the crack cocaine guidelines overstate the seriousness of the offense. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.